Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
NYYST. This is New York. Yankee Sports Talk, yep. Swinging for the fences, knock it out the park. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Woo. Christian and Chris, of course, SGR. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Call me New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Record, rain or shine, grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST, you're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 271 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented to you by NYY News TV. I'm your host, Christian. As always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
You.
And did you leave him in AC?
Nah, dude, he's probably hurting. I'm just assuming he's not going to be on the show.
SGR enjoyed his birthday a little too much in AC last night, so he most likely will not be joining us tonight.
I gotta say though, he is dealing with some of the shit that he was dealing with a couple months ago when he was in the hospital. It's still not like fully resolved, so he's probably hurting a little.
Oh, we hope he feels better. We hope he had a great birthday celebration. But on with the show here. It's not on with the season because we're sitting here almost 9 o'clock on Sunday night. There's still been no resolution to the labor talks. The MLB has set a deadline of tomorrow to have a full 162 game schedule. They will meet tomorrow. There's really not much that I want to get into because, again, all I care about is them getting a deal done. You hear that they're close. You hear that they're not close. You hear that don't get excited. You hear get excited. So until you just figure it out. All right. So right now I'll let Chris figure out how to tell you about all of our bookkeeping and then we'll get on with the show.
Okay. First I'll say this before I get into the bookkeeping. I was actually hopeful yesterday. I really was. When they were meeting for a second time, I was hopeful and sure we'll just elaborate on that a little bit. But if you're listening to this show on Apple Podcasts, you know what to do. Please stop, subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Anything less, please keep it to your fucking self. And if you feel like leaving us 5-star, please take a second to do so. If you want to help support the show, go to patreon.com/NYYST. You can become a patron for as low as $5 a month. And of course, this episode is also brought to you by Manscaped. Support for NYYST is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package, which we actually got, and it's fucking, I'm not kidding, incredible. I have not, have you used any of the... Well, you have it, you've been a fan. I haven't clipped my balls once.
That's personal, bro.
I haven't nicked the balls once. I use it on my face, too, because I'm a dirty fucking dirtbag.
No, you're a fucking...
I'm a grimy fucking dirtbag, so I'll use it on my balls and right to the face. Right to the face. So it doesn't matter. You could use either one. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer to you. You can get 20% off free and free worldwide shipping with code 20, NYYST at manscaped.com. That is 20 NYYST at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's almost 8 million balls. Bada bing, bada boom.
Well, you know, if my math is correct, we would have seen maybe 200-ish balls fly over the fence for the Yankees this year. Maybe we won't see any. I mean, we're sitting here 24 hours away from this self-imposed deadline by Major League Baseball. If you are listening to the show, you're watching the show, Well, I would say by the time this show debuts on YouTube later in the day on Monday, we will probably have a resolution whether or not we're getting baseball on time or not. But if you listen to the show on, you know, as a podcast, when it drops Monday morning, we still will not know fully. And if you want to know all the minutiae, the details in and out, that's what Twitter is for.
Right.
I really don't care. I mean, we did it a couple weeks ago. I just don't care anymore. I'm just like so past the point of caring what they're arguing about, because I asked them for the one thing, and I know they're not listening to me, but I asked for the one thing. And then that's don't mess with March 31st. And we're 24 hours away from them messing with March 31st. So I really don't care what you're arguing about anymore. Oh, the owner's bad. Player's good. Player's bad. Owner's worse. I don't care. I'm not picking sides. The only side that I'm on is mine. And my side is watching the fucking Yankees play the Rangers
and guess what?
On March 31st. And guess what? So if that's not happening, then you both suck.
And guess what? Your side, no one cares about your side. No one but you cares about your side. Isn't that sad? I have a question. Since we don't have a... Listen, I gotta tell you this. I just got a fucking voicemail.
Oh,
at
boy.
8:51 p.m. on a Sunday.
Business?
It was someone... No. It's someone calling on behalf of the New Jersey Department of Health to conduct a survey. An important study on health in the United States. Should I call this fucking person back tonight? I really think
it's about... Is it COVID related?
It probably is. And I'll tell you what.
Do they not know COVID's over because there's a war going on?
Duh. But like, how do you call somebody? What's so important on a Sunday at 8:51 p.m.?
Maybe they need to know if you're healthy enough to go to war.
Am I healthy? Yes, you can draft me, please.
Speaking of drafts, this nice little segue there. The King of Monument Park tournament is going on. We did the play-ins. They're all complete. The round of 16 started yesterday. Jeter and Babe Ruth advanced heavily, as we expected. Mariano's up heavy on Andy Pettit right now, and it looks like we might get our first upset. Joey D over Yogi Berra, although that's not really much. If you look at
their, I don't think it's an upset, they are, though.
It's a seeding upset.
It's a seeding it's an upset.
It's and a seeding upset, yeah. So, but please, if you haven't done so yet, please follow us at NYYSD_podcast and you know, join in on the fun. And somebody told me, oh, this is a stupid tournament because Babe Ruth is
I don't win. Think that's what he said. I think you're being a little harsh on the guy.
No, first of all,
he pretty much him. All he said was, whoever drafted Babe Ruth knew what he was doing.
That's not what he said.
And obviously Babe Ruth is going to win, so why that's even absolute... bother? And I agree that whoever drafted Babe Ruth was a smart individual.
So let's not have any fun. Now let's not try to engage your fan base, and let's not try to have things to talk about and do different things during a lockout. Christian, let's just sit Christian, here.
Didn't you know that doing fun things like drafting players an actual Yankee, like, thinking about the sport isn't what you're supposed to do during a lockout? We have to talk about who's engaged and who is getting married and who surprised their wife at their driveway.
Who looks like a superhero driving a Mustang, even though he makes $340 million a year.
Right.
Okay.
Those are the things that we're supposed to be doing.
There's somebody out there that's going to make me hate Gerrit Cole by the end of the season.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
And you know how much I don't want to do that.
I know you love him. You jerk to him. You yank to him.
No, that's not true.
You yank to him.
Let's not start that
one. Okay. Mine at least once. Minimum one time.
We're not going to talk about that now. Anyway, what I do want to talk about here right now is this little Twitter movement. Because we have nothing else to talk about.
Is there a movement?
It's not going to be a long show. Please
30 let minutes me know. Tops.
No, I mean, if we hit 60, please let me know, and I'm going to wrap it up. There's really no need to stretch this one out tonight. This little Twitter movement that's going on. Please cancel your MLB.TV subscriptions. We must show them that we have the power. Guess what, geniuses? They don't fucking care whether you cancel your MLB TV subscriptions or not. They don't care. So you can all go out there and conform to your groupthink all you want to and try to bully people into doing shit with their money that they may or may not want to do. You guys do that. I'm personally not going to cancel my MLB TV subscription because I can't access the fucking account anymore. So it just automatically renews. So I'm going to have to call my credit card company to
do that. I know your password.
And I don't want to do it.
I know you can
text that to me later because I can't fucking get into the account. I've been actually trying to cancel it for 2 years because I don't use it anymore just because I don't have time to watch games outside of the Yankees. So
yeah, it's only good at the end of the year anyway.
If you guys want to do that and be the cool kids club and post all your pictures of your cancellations on social media, you guys do that. And don't spend any money on MLB or MLB related products. You know what I really hate? I hate how people want to go out there and form groups and tell me how I'm supposed to fucking spend the money that I go and earn every day. If I want to go and spend $100 on Fanatics on Yankee merchandise because I like it, guess what? I'm going to do it, and I fucking did it 2 weeks ago. So if you have a fucking problem with that, stop listening to the fucking show. Stop telling everybody on social media how they should spend their money. If you want to go out there and buy a Gerrit Cole jersey because you have a few extra bucks in your pocket and you hadn't gotten around to getting one, fucking buy it. Don't let anybody tell you we have to show them we have the power. Guess what? You don't have the fucking power because if they cared about you, if they truly cared about you, there would not be a fucking lockout right now. And we wouldn't be standing 24 hours away from possibly losing games if they really cared about you. And here's the irony of it all. And I bring this up all the time because it's like people don't think past whatever cool trend they're trying to kick off on social media. What do you want owners to do? You want them to give more money to players. You want them to spend more money on this. You want to spend more money on that. And your grand idea is to not give them any more of your money. Okay. So you, in a perfect world, you social media kids, you guys that want to be influencers, in your perfect world, nobody spends a dime on Major League Baseball outside of their TV revenue. So you just cut off a big chunk of their revenue, maybe half. I don't know what the exact percentages are of what the owners make on outside of their TV deals. And now your grand idea is to get them to spend more money, but they lost half the revenue because of you. So tell me how that makes sense.
Yeah, look, it's a very, I'm not against it. I don't think as fiercely as you are. I understand your point, so I can't argue it. But at the same time, something does need to be done because like I've said from the beginning, we do hold the power here. Now, here's where I agree with you. It's a double-edged sword. Because, yes, the way to do this, the way to show them is for a vast majority of fans to get together, which won't happen, and to cancel your subscriptions, to stop watching games, to stop going to the stadium. But at the same time, we stop doing that, we're not getting the thing that we want them to agree on. And that's baseball. And I can't live my life without baseball.
Meetings will start at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
I don't care. But again, just like you said, I don't care anymore.
I'm just saying.
All I want to know is, are we getting a season? Are we getting 162 games?
And at 10 a.m., you're going to start refreshing your feed at 10 a.m. What's going on?
It's just not going to happen, though. There's just still. Yeah. And like, I know you don't want to get into the details, but let me just say this, right? There's certain things in life that we all need. Family, Yankee baseball, and we don't ask for a lot, right? We just don't. And now we got fucked 2 years ago with COVID, and we only had a 60-game season. And now we're dealing with this now? And then we went out, that whole year, even during the 60 games, you couldn't go to the stadium. And then we start 2021 with, stadiums can barely get filled. And it's like, it's just bullshit that we're dealing with this now. We don't ask for a lot. And it's like, what do we do? What do you do? If you're not going to stop watching, which I'm not going to do, so therefore, canceling my subscriptions, saying all this bullshit, which is what we should do, if we can all do it together, but we're not going to because we love this sport. So yes, we hold the power, but at the same time, they know how much we need it. And I know you don't want to get into the details, but I've been someone who has been a little more, apologetic to the owners in a sense of I felt like the players' union was completely unfair. And I said, and I made a statement that turned out to be not true, which was if the players would come with a deal with certain things that they actually gave a realistic proposal to, a realistic counter, the owners would come back and actually negotiate towards that number. And I don't know the full details. Again, I was in AC with SGR. It was his 30th birthday. Happy birthday. And I don't know all the details. One detail I did read was that the players came back, and with the pool, the players, you know, the amount of players, they were at 80%, and the owner said they weren't budging off 22%, and the players came back with 35%. Is that true? Am I accurate?
And they significantly lowered. I don't know what the exact.
I believe I read 35% from multiple sources. If that's sources. True, and I understand the owner said they're not coming up off that number. Now I can't help but to now sway towards the player side because I'm being fair about this. I think the players came down significantly, and the owners still aren't budging, and that's where I get pissed off, and that's where now I can sit here and say that I know the owners have this number in mind, but your players came down significantly.
All this stuff is all dressing on the side of for what the big argument is, and that's a tax, a competitive balance.
But didn't
tax.
They come I mean, down with that too?
No, the owners based it. I don't know. The owners raised it like $1 million a year, which apparently insulted the players. Which to me, it was an insult too. I mean, I'm on the side of just get rid of the friggin' thing. I hate it. I hate the friggin' tax. If you're gonna institute it, it should be a hard cap. That's my take. This whole, we're going to tax the teams that spend the most. Why? Isn't that what you're trying to promote is spending in the sport? And you're going to penalize the teams that spend the most? So if you only want teams to spend up to $215 million, then that's the fucking salary cap. And just put it in place.
Yeah, but what you're doing is you're reallocating that money. And teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are going through a major rebuild,
that don't spend the money that they get anyway.
But they're not really getting a lot compared to, you know, the Yankees. They're not really bringing in the same revenue as the Yankees are. So it's difficult.
There's not one team in Major League Baseball that can legitimately justify having a $39 million payroll. There's not.
But here's my thing. I think there is, but my thing is that is what should be capped. Right? Our issue is that, look, here's how I put it the other day. If you were in a point in your life where you were spending money irresponsibly and you needed to reset in order to be able to pay off your bills and then to be able to start saving money to be in a better position 5 years down the road, right? You'd have your income. And what would you try and do? You'd try and cut what? Your expenses. Right? To put yourself in a position where you can pay what you need to pay, but also be ready to spend down the line. But if you do that for 5, 6, 7 years, then I call you a cheap motherfucker. Right? When you have $1 million sitting in the bank and you're telling me you can't go out to Outback, you know, we can't meet up at Outback like we like to do and have a nice meal together because you don't want to spend the money, then I call you a cheap piece of shit. Right, but if you're struggling at the time and saying, look, dude, I got to pay my bills. I can't go out to dinner today. I need to be smarter with my money. That's different. But there's a cutoff, right? If the Pirates want to sit here and tell me they're not going to spend the money for the next 4 or 5 years because they need to put themselves in a better position to spend and put a World Series caliber team on the field for their fans, then that's okay. But if that lasts for 10 to 12 years, now I call bullshit. And that's where my issue is.
Yeah, but not at $39 million, bro. That's ridiculous.
Why? Look at what the Rays did, dude. But look at what the Rays did with nobody.
Yeah, but that payroll is not $39 million.
I understand. But what I'm saying is...
You can't be sitting there with that type of payroll, that you can't be doing.
Are the Pirates really at 39 million?
There's the Indians are, I know that.
So what is, okay, but there's got to be a reason for it.
Yeah, because they don't spend money. They don't want to.
Do they feel guilty about their name? Do they feel guilt? Is this part of their guilt with the name change? Is this like the Indians? Are they like, we shouldn't spend money now because we've been such terrible people for the last 100 years?
I don't know.
I mean, what is the incentive behind it? They're not putting a lot of people in the seats with a $39 million payroll, are they?
Nope.
So is that going to be sustainable? Or is
there a $39 million payroll?
Is that going to be sustainable in the long run if you keep a $39 million payroll?
Yeah, I don't even hate on the Rays for what they spend because they will spend money in certain areas.
But get off the Rays for a second. Answer my question about the Indians.
What about them?
Is that sustainable? You have a $39 million payroll. What does that translate into? A piece of shit organization.
Right.
Right? So is that sustainable and for how long? Would you go see the Yankees if they had a $39 million payroll?
I wouldn't.
And you're a hardcore fan.
I wouldn't. I would definitely not be in that stadium more than once.
Right. So how sustainable is that? It can't last forever.
Again, how much money? We always talk about this. What are these teams making on television revenue?
Again, would you even bother watching the Yankees with a $39 million payroll?
It doesn't matter. You're still all getting part of the pie from all these the big networks.
Okay, so my biggest thing was, to me, it all comes down to one issue. That the owners are making, it's not about the amount of money they're making, it's that it's the ease of the money making, right? They no longer have to produce a World Series caliber team to make insane amounts of money. And
what do you think we're dealing with?
Yes, right here? Absolutely. But that's the issue. And that's where the casual fan or even the hardcore fan right now is not realizing the actual core issue. The core issue is that the owners are making too much money too easily. That's the part of the sentence that people are leaving out. It's too easily because what that's doing is it's doing exactly, let's just stay as Yankee fans. What have we been looking at for the last handful of years now? We've been looking at a competitive team that the owners don't have to go to the luxury tax. They don't have to care about winning a World Series to produce the same amount of revenue and to just be a great business model. And that's the problem. So maybe we need to start focusing in on these TV deals. Maybe there needs to be some more regulation when it comes to the TV deals.
Nope, it's free market. I have no problem with it. It's free market. It's what the market dictates. It needs. It's
so worth. Then guess what? So then guess what? We need to just drop all the bullshit then. The owners are going to have an easy time. And if you have a team, if you root for a team that doesn't care about a World Series, find yourself another team. Because I promise you one thing, the Dodgers can make just as much money, but they care about winning a World Series. You want to know how I know? You tell me how I know that.
They spend money?
Oh, yeah. A lot of it. And what did they do?
You told me that World Series doesn't count, though.
It counts. It counts.
Oh, now it counts.
I said it counted. I said as a fan, it wouldn't feel like it counted as much if the Yankees did it. But it counts. It's in the books. The Dodgers have ownership that care about winning. So if we can't control the free market of TV deals, the owners are going to have an easier time making money regardless of what kind of product, as long as it's competitive. And there's nothing we can do about it. So let's move on. Let's not care about who's evil and who's not. And let's just focus on the one important thing. Getting baseball. And that we're the ones who are fucked. We're the ones who get fucking fucked royally.
All right, so you know what? Go post your picture. You know, you can Photoshop it to say your name of you canceling your MLB TV contract.
I don't even have one.
So you can be, but you can. There's 30 of them out there right now. Just take one, somebody else's, and Photoshop your name.
But hold on. So my argument was towards you of that doesn't matter. Unless you're going to cancel cable and tell me you're not going to watch the YES Network forever, that's all that matters. It actually doesn't even matter if you're going to go to a game. Like you just said, the money is in the TV deal. That's the sustainable money. That's the money they know isn't going to be touched.
Why do you think that both sides are in favor of expanded postseason? It's more money from the TV networks.
The players aren't as in favor of it as you think.
They're in favor of expanding it. They're not still. What do we have now? What is it? It's five. It's five teams that make the postseason from each league. Three division winners and two wild cards.
Yeah.
So they're at least willing to, what do you call it?
Go
add teams to the pool.
I think
it doesn't
stupid.
Matter that they. Well, I don't like expanded postseason, so.
I hate it.
I mean, I felt it was a necessary evil in 2020, but I don't. If you're going to play 162, I don't feel the need.
That's always been my number one gripe with, like, what is it, the NHL? Like, half the league is in the playoffs.
There's 16 teams. And,
like, you barely have to play the regular season. You just get by. That's actually worse, in my opinion. We're talking about how easy it is to make money for these owners to just put a competitive team on the field. Now you're making it so much easier for them to put a playoff caliber team on the field without even really doing much. Now forget it. Now they really don't have to spend that much. The Yankees are pretty much guaranteed to win no matter what they do. They're guaranteed to make a playoff spot. Now you're making it easier for the owners, in my opinion. No shit, the owners want that. Like, is Tony Clark fucking dumb? Honestly, I need to know. Is he fucking stupid? That's my thing. I understand where the players are coming from. I'm not even going to sit here and say I disagree with what they're arguing about. It's their logic. Yeah, let's expand the postseason then, and let's make it easier for the owners to just put a decently competitive team together where they can probably make the playoffs regardless, and their fan base is still going to watch just as many games.
You understand it benefits them as well, though, right?
Yeah, we're not talking season to season when it comes to the players. We're talking about longevity here. We're talking about the owner spending more compared to revenue. That's not going to happen with expanded playoffs. They're going to spend less. All they're going to want to do if you have ownership that doesn't truly care about winning at all and just cares about putting together a solid business model that's going to continue to bring in a lot of money, now you have to spend less to make the fucking postseason, Christian.
Right, but the players are only saying that they're going to have more players in a playoff pool.
Understood.
And guess what you get? And what do you
but
get
I understand
when you make
that.
The postseason?
But I understand that. That's why I'm saying the logic, bonus. Though, isn't there. Because, you see, if you want longevity, no matter what team, if they actually care, they're going to give you that contract, right? And if you end up on one of those teams that actually spends money and makes the playoffs, and there's a lot less teams making the playoffs, it's going to incentivize more teams to spend more money to make the fucking playoffs. If you have more teams making the playoffs more easily, it's going to incentivize the owners to save some of their fucking money and realize they don't have to put that good of a product on the field to make the postseason.
Well, you know, there's just no way that you're going to win on everything. So
like,
you
want
to say
honestly,
that it's going to incentivize the owners to spend less? Well, the players are looking at it like, well, now we're going to have 60 to 120 possible more players earning playoff bonuses.
Let me ask you a question. When did the second wild card come into play? When was that? 2012?
15? No. Was it
no, we always
that?
Think it's 2015, but it, that was the first was year the Yankees Yankee. Made
I think it was 2012. It might have been 2012, something like that.
For argument's sake, let's just say 2012. Okay. Since that time, as a Yankee fan, going into the season at least, haven't we thought in our minds with that second wild card how much easier it is for the Yankees to at least make a postseason spot? Going into the season, don't you sit there and say they really don't have to do too much to just make one of those fucking spots? And there's not the same pressure? Have the Yankees really spent big or gone above and beyond since this second wild card was implemented?
Well, that's, you know, it also coincides with when Hal took control of the team.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And has it worked for him? For his purposes? Absolutely has. Now you get rid of that second wild card spot, which I actually, at first I never liked, but I don't mind it. I think it makes it very interesting. you get rid of that, and now Hal all of a sudden sits here and says, fuck, we have a couple teams here that probably wouldn't have made the postseason. I need to really get a little more serious here if I want my team to play in October.
Well, you know what? He had a team that shouldn't have made the postseason last year, and he has made no moves towards strengthening that team. So, well, you tell me.
Yeah, well, he'll probably make the adequate moves to get them right back to where they were last year.
What's the adequate moves? We've been talking about this for weeks now, that they are only really set at three positions if you're not counting pitching.
Here's what adequate moves result to. Here's what they equal to. Making enough moves to somewhat put together a competitive team to make that second wild card spot, and here's the key, staying under the luxury tax. That's it. That's all he cares about. Because why? All he has to do is make that second wild card spot. And Hal's a happy man. Go root for the Dodgers. You know what other team you're going to want to root for soon? Probably the White Sox.
He doesn't want to make the second wild card.
Oh, no. What does he want to do?
He wants to make the first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He wants that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, dude. You're right. But he'll take the second one.
No. Okay, what do they get?
He'll take it.
Nothing.
He'll take it.
Are you done?
I think I just made a very logical, sound point.
Yeah, you just bored me to tears, though, because I don't care. Really don't care. I don't care, honestly, dude. You want it's our show, so this is where you want to take it. I have no problem with that.
No, that's fine.
I don't have a lot of things that we need to talk about today, but I'm just telling you personally, I don't care. Everything. That's why I'm like, not fighting.
But Christian,
you on
I don't care either. But you do care. You do care.
Because you're the one who brought up people.
You're the one who brought up people canceling shit.
Yeah, because I don't like how to be fucking told how to spend my money.
No one's telling you.
If I want to let it fucking roll over, I want to give them a $25 because I pay monthly on March 1st. Fuck you. I'm going to do it. Don't tell me how to fucking – don't go on MLB Shop. Fuck you. I'm going to go buy something as soon as I'm done recording now, and I'm going to post a fucking receipt.
You a rebel.
The only thing that I haven't done that I would have done if there wasn't a lockout is buy tickets, only because I don't want to deal with having to get a fucking refund if they don't play these games. Other than that, I'm continuing to conduct my business as a fan, as I see to fucking do. So if that's what you want to do, and you want to hop on the cool kid train and post your cancellation pictures, fine, and I get it. Why should you spend money on something that you're not getting? Fine, whatever, dude. But don't tell other people what the fuck to do. I don't like these groupthink, gang up on everybody type of fucking things.
It's bullshit. You know what really bothers me? Since your daughter's been born, I've been wanting to buy you one thing that you bought me when my son was born. And every year I can't do it. First it was COVID, and she was a little too young. Then it was like, oh, not everyone's allowed in the stadiums. So that was a stupid year to get it. And now this year, I don't even know if there's going to be fucking baseball. It's like every year.
There'll be baseball when they can cut it down to 60 games.
Right, exactly. So it's like, you get it now, it's all bullshit. So the girl's going to be fucking, what, she turning 2 this year?
Yeah.
She'll be fucking 10 before she steps foot in the stadium.
Whatever. No, it won't. No, she won't. She'll be there. I'm going to try.
Are you going to take her this year? This year or next year?
She's still too young.
Do you want me to be there for that experience? Or your
wife? No, I don't. I don't want you there.
Okay. It's fucked up. Very. You have a lot of animosity for some reason.
I do. That's always how I've been, bro. Like, I go to work, I earn my money. If I want to fucking sit there and light it on fire in the fucking street, I'm going to do that. Don't tell me what to fucking do with it. It's illegal to light fires?
With money? Is it? I'm going to look that up. Is it illegal to burn the U.S. dollar? Oh, no, you can burn the flag. So.
Right. I don't think it's illegal. Why would it be illegal?
Is it illegal to burn the U.S. dollar? Let's see. Burning money is a violation of Title 18, Section 333 of the United States Code, which says whoever mutilates, cuts, disfigures, perforates, unites or cements together, or does any other thing to any bank bill, draft, note, or other evidence of debt issued by any blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's illegal.
Whatever. I want to go commit a crime and light my money on fire in the street. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, you can
because
know
guess
it.
What? I went out and I earned it. So you know what? You guys do what you want to do. Leave everybody else the fuck alone. Seriously, I'm tired of this shit.
All right, what else? What else you want to get off your chest?
I want a thank you from Paul O'Neill is what I want.
A thank you?
I want a fucking thank you. I think he should do the show.
Do you think that we are the reason why he's getting his number retired?
I think the reason why he's getting his fucking number retired is because the Yankees know they're going to have trouble drawing fans this year because of the bullshit they're going to fucking pull. So they figure, why not? Why not? Let's get it. We'll get an easy gate in late August when the stadium's half empty because people are going to get tired of watching Andrelton Simmons play shortstop. So we'll get an easy gate in late August. We'll bring Paul O'Neill in and we'll bring back some dynasty guys and they'll cheer for an afternoon.
I'm so over it. Let me ask you a question because you're a daddy now. You're papa. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything I probably have asked you this in the past. Is there anything the Yankees could do now that there's more responsibility and things that are more serious in your life than the New York Yankees? Is there anything they can do for you to wake up one day and just say, you know what? I don't really care about them as much anymore. Like, yeah, I mean, I'll still watch. Like, yeah, you still watch. You maybe watch every single game, but you just don't really care anymore. Is there anything that this ownership, that this team could do? Now, here's the difference between us and just like a casual fan of any other team. I'm not saying if they had 10 losing seasons in a row, would you jump ship? I'm asking, and more of a, because we don't hate this team right now because they suck. We hate this team because of how they're run. Is there anything they could do that just kind of you hang it up as a diehard fan?
I don't know, man. It depends.
I got to be honest with you, man. I'm close to that point. If this continues for another 2-3 years, this bullshit of just like not caring about putting a World Series caliber team together and just continuing to just get to a certain point and being fine with it, I don't know how much more I can take of it where I can sit here and seriously say that I care about this team as much as I did 10 years ago.
We talk about this all the time, bro, and it's going to be the same thing. It's like when the payroll is cut in half and we're having like a $110 million team on the field, then maybe come talk to me. But, you know, it's hard to really say that they're not spending. We want them to spend more. We do. It's hard to say they're not spending money.
I didn't say that.
When they're spending two, but you're saying what's the one thing?
But clearly, they're not spending money that proves that they are serious about winning a World Series.
No, they're not spending money correctly.
Correctly, but who does he still have in place? Not spending that money correctly.
Well, we understand that. That's the whole argument. That's a discussion.
So for another, but if they do this for another 3 years, the same guy not spending the money correctly. And they're still not cutting checks to go over the luxury tax and so on and so forth and the same bullshit over and over. How much more can you take of it? Just forever? You're going to get fucking pushed around for the rest of your life?
Oh, yeah. This is pushed around.
By the Yankees right now?
Oh, I'm getting bullied. I'm Aaron Boone. Umpire bullied me.
You're not getting pushed around by the Yankees right now?
What do you want me to say, bro?
Pieces of shit.
I'm done.
Hal and Brian Cashman are pieces of shit?
I'm done.
Are they not pieces of shit right now?
In what sense? That they don't do they're not doing their jobs to my satisfaction?
No, that they do, truly. You can't sit here and say they care about putting a World Series team together.
They do.
They care.
I don't think. For Cashman, I don't know if you could say that about him.
Okay, he just sucks at his job. And Hal, that's different. And Hal continues to just employ him. Because for Hal, he doesn't suck. For Hal, he's great. But for us, Brian Cashman sucks. And you know what? To be fair to Brian Cashman, we've said this a million times. This wasn't what he was used to. He wasn't used to these caps. He wasn't used to spending money, you know, efficiently. That was never in his job description. When George was alive, it was just get me the best guys.
Do you know what the irony of all, again, the irony, everything's ironic. The irony of this competitive balance tax is it was put in place essentially to stop George Steinbrenner from just writing fact checks whenever he felt like.
Right.
And Hal uses it as if somebody's going to gang rape him if he does, if he spends one penny over the fucking tax.
Right.
And I don't mean to make light of rape. We know it's very serious. No, it's a jokey
rape. It was jokey rape.
But you can't, but you know, you can't joke. You can't joke.
I'll joke about any fucking thing I want.
I thought it was a funny joke. Like, my whole thing is I always say Rocky Balboa ended the Cold War. So we're at, Russia's at war. I thought it made a funny tweet and somebody was offended by it. I said, news, Russia declares war. And I post a picture of Rocky running the mountain, screaming Drago from Rocky IV. And somebody got offended by it.
No, that's
somebody
it, got offended dude. By it. That's a great tweet.
I mean, you can't, yes, war is serious. What's going on in the Ukraine is very serious. It's much more serious than arguing over baseball labor negotiations.
See that? Yes. See that little joke? Subtle joke. That's a subtle joke. Is a, I don't know. We'll see.
But everybody's just got to stop being offended
over
everything. Dude,
you're always going to offend people. Always. If you know what? If you're not offending people, you're not doing something right.
Oh, I'm triggered. He made a joke
about... Fuck everybody, dude.
He made a joke about Russia.
Fuck everyone. Seriously. Guess what? If you're offended, you're listening to the right people, probably. Right? Everyone should be offended every single day, or else you're not listening to things that are truthful. Or... against what you truly believe, therefore you're not having any true dialogue. So fuck you. Be offended. Be offended. It's a good thing. Offend people.
Be offended.
It's great.
Be offended by this.
Don't be an asshole.
I don't think Paul O'Neill should have his number retired.
Boom. There. Agreed.
I said it.
Agreed. There's only two reasons why they're doing it. One is the reason why you said, right? That's the obvious reason. The other reason is that no one wants to wear the number. Right? Has anyone worn 21? Didn't someone wear it and someone got pissed off?
Yeah, LaTroy Hawkins. I was at Yankee Stadium.
Didn't everyone boo him?
He made his Yankee debut wearing 21, and they booed him out of the fucking stadium.
So at that point, you have to. Right? Now they just waited for a fucking money grab.
But here's my problem with it. They already gave him a day. They put a plaque out there. That's why we voted on him in one of the... To enter the tournament, because he had a plaque out there with Willie Randolph and Tino Martinez. They already gave him his day, and they chose not to honor him to retire his number. That's why you know it's a fucking money grab, because if they had any what's the fucking word I'm looking for?
If they had any idea, intention...
There you go. If they had any intention of retiring his number,
they would have done it.
Did it when they gave him one. My throat is so fucking dry.
Drink when something. They gave him, drink. Wet the whistle.
I got a Yeti, a New York Yankees Yeti. Okay, a brand new Yankees Yeti that I asked my wife to get me for this Valentine's Day. So there. Okay, I just had my
wife. What's it filled with?
Gatorade. I just had my wife spend money on Yankee related products during the lockout.
Misogynist.
Wow. Now I'm misogynistic.
Bigot, sexist.
Bro.
Done.
I'm against a union too.
Yeah.
I work for a fucking union. I know how these negotiations go.
I hate unions.
We lost our health insurance. That's how bad of a negotiator we had when I was working for the last union that I worked for. Caved and gave up our health insurance. You know what my next phone call was? To get transferred to a different department that wasn't in the union.
This is a great... I don't know how much more you want to talk. We're about 45 minutes in. But this is a great question for you, because I was curious about it. I'm sure there's other people out there that might be curious about it. These negotiations, right? How many players are on 40-man rosters? What? Do the quick math. 1,200? Right? There's 30 teams, 40.
Okay,
so 1,200 players are being represented by the union. And then you have your heads, like you have Tony Clark, you have Max Scherzer.
Garrett Cole, these guys.
Dave Jack Winfield, Ray, I think, is one of them. No, I'm not talking about the players who represent their teams, who are the spokesperson for their teams. Like, Max Scherzer, I believe, has, like, a higher-up officer role. And so does, like, Dave Winfield and whatever. And then you have all your player reps, right? Your team reps. How many...
But Dave Winfield's not in the union. You know that, right?
Yeah, he's part of... He's one of the, like... He's like but a he's Tony not, Clark head type thing.
But he's not in the union.
No, I understand that. I'm talking about the guys representing everyone, speaking for everyone, right? How... If you have 1,200 players in your best educated guess here, how many of these players actually are sitting there adamantly agreeing with what the union is putting to the table? Do they all really get together and have a say like that? Like when your union head negotiated for you guys, did you have any type of say, any type of dialogue to put forth?
Yeah, you have. I worked in the food in the supermarkets, and you have a shop steward, and he's supposed to go to your union negotiate to your union head and talk on your behalf.
But does your union? But does your union head talk to you beforehand?
No, that's what your shop steward is for. That's what a guy like Zach Britton is for.
Okay.
He's supposed to convey what your team wants, just like I worked in a supermarket in Woodland Park. So the Woodland Park team, our shop steward gotcha. Would go to the union head and say, hey, this is what my team wants.
So do you think out of the 1,200 players, do you think there's some guys like sitting back just like, dude, I don't care. Just don't give me baseball.
A fuck. Yeah, there's plenty. I worked in a supermarket. These are Major League Baseball players, but I know there was plenty of people. There was maybe only like three or four that actually gave a shit of what was going on until something like losing our health insurance happened. Nobody right. really cares what the hell is going on. Right. It's just like, I just need to get paid. So whatever you have to do, like, keep us getting paid.
Like, you see so many guys that are on the 40-man rosters out and working out and, you know, taking BP and shit like that. I'm sure so many of these guys are just like, dude, just fucking give me baseball. Like, they just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably a much higher percentage than the common person thinks. They probably think that every single guy sitting there with bated breath.
Right.
We need this to happen.
Right.
A lot of them probably don't give a shit.
That was my point of asking you that, because I'm sure there is a much higher percentage than we all think that just don't really care and just want to fucking play because they know they're making a good living.
Right. And, you know, a guy like, you know, you take a guy that might be making a couple mil, you know, he's probably not sitting there worried, you know, like, oh, he's probably not sitting there like, yeah, I could hold out for 40 right. games. Like, yeah, Max Scherzer can do that.
Exactly.
Gerrit Cole can do that.
And that's why I said from the beginning, all these players fighting for all this aren't really thinking about the little guy. They're not. They're the ones who are going to hurt. Not the Max Scherzers of the world, not the Gerrit Coles of the world. I understand the point behind it all, but at the end of the day, they're not going to be the ones hurting. Whether the players are right or wrong, it doesn't matter. They're not the ones hurting. The players we're hearing from are not the ones hurting.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Like, if you want to get into this again later, we
yeah,
can.
No, like, it was just a quick question.
I just wanted to work through this Paul O'Neill thing. I think this is Let's one of the things I wanted to talk. We're having a little bit of fun right now with this tournament. But if you really, like I said, if you really look at it, like, there's a lot of guys here that don't deserve to have their numbers retired. And it's just like, it's become saturated. And like, I love Paul O'Neill. Jesus Christ.
See, I have a mute button. I have the soundboard by me. So I mute when I cough. We have long COVID, I think.
No, I'm pretty much recovered from all that shit. It's just, I don't know why my throat is really dry tonight, but I love Paul O'Neill, dude. I really do. Like, how could you be a Yankee fan and live through that era and not love Paul O'Neill?
Right. Love him.
But I don't think he deserves to have his number retired. I'm sorry. And like, you got to deal with these snarky ass tweets. Like, there's something wrong with you if you don't think that he deserves his number retired. I just don't. Like, I think in guys that should have their number retired, Ruth, you know, Garrett, Maggio, Mantle, you know, Joe Torre, Rivera, Jeter, like the upper echelon, the great of the greats. Like, you have to think of Monument Park as like the Yankees Hall of Fame. And I just don't see Paul Neal at that level. I just don't.
I think the number one thing has to be your time spent in pinstripes.
He spent a lot. He spent like 9 years here. He was here for a while.
Was it that long?
Yeah, he got traded in 92. He came over here, I want to say, 92. And he retired in 01. So he was here for nine. It's like, that's my biggest problem with Reggie Jackson being in having his number retired. He was here for 5 years. The 78 World Series, the three consecutive home runs, iconic. And I'm not a Reggie guy, but
I hate Reggie Jackson.
Iconic. Iconic in the history of the sport. Iconic in Yankee history. That shouldn't get you your number retired. It's because him and George had a special relationship. George was, he was really like the, maybe Catfish Hunter was. So one of those two guys, but like he was one of like the first, and you know, saying Catfish Hunter, he was like one of the first big fish that George reeled in when free agency became a thing in Major League Baseball. So he was always connected to George in that manner. But you know, he played here 5 years and he bolted, you know, and that was it for him. He doesn't deserve to have his number retired.
Well, let's go through Paul O'Neill real quick. 9 years is significant, right? And he won all the World Series here. Why not then? Why not?
It should be.
I think the argument is that Paul O'Neill should have had it over a lot of other guys.
It's like the same thing I say with the world, with the Hall of Fame. Throw a name out there. If you don't say yes instantly, then it's a no for me.
Okay. Reggie Jackson's a no for me.
Right. Not as a Hall of Famer, but as having
his number retired. Number retired as a Yankee.
Like Andy Pettit? No, I'm sorry. He doesn't deserve to have his number retired as a Yankee.
Ooh, really?
I don't think so. I think the Yankees then had an overrule.
So what's the word I'm looking for? What's your standard then? Like, what's your, this is what you need to do to that would justify you having your number retired?
Are you a Hall of Famer?
Why does that matter? Because we're talking about just the Yankees right now.
Right. So if you're retiring numbers, don't you think you should retire the best of the best?
Okay. Deal.
Or I would make except, or if you're not a Hall of Famer, what did you do that set, were you the face of the club? Were you the face of the franchise while you were here? Don Mattingly? Yes, he was. He deserves to have his number retired. Ron Guidry was so dominant and spent his entire career here, even though he's not a Hall of Famer. Yes, deserves to have his number retired. Andy Pettit was a very good pitcher in a great era of Yankee baseball. Again, love Andy Pettit.
One of your favorites.
Again, doesn't strike me as a guy that should have his number retired.
I would argue you Andy Pettit over Paul O'Neill.
Because of where Pettit ranks in certain categories in team history.
He's also a fringe Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
Only because the Yankees historically have not had as great of pitching as they had.
Andy Pettit was so good in the postseason for this team.
Yes and no.
Yes.
Yes and no. Yes. No, I mean yes and no. Yes. He blew up a lot of the times in the postseason. Like we don't want to admit that, but he did. There were several times in big spots Andy Pettit blew up. And that's me saying that, knowing that if I had to win one game, I would put Andy Pettit on the mound.
So for me, then, just your statement alone in that, I would say Andy Pettit deserves to have his number retired. I can't say the same for Paul O'Neill. And I love Paul O'Neill.
Like Jorge Posada?
No.
I can't do it, dude. I'm sorry. And again, I love these guys. I don't want to make it sound like I'm knocking these guys. Jorge Posada?
What about Bernie Williams?
See, Bernie, because he was here for so long. Like, so long, Bernie was here. And he really was like
When did he retire, 04?
Was he here in 06? He might have been here in 06.
I think that was Tino. I always mix them up when they played. I'm going to look that up.
I think Bernie was here in 06.
But do you think Bernie Williams would qualify for you? He was through 2006. Wow. Wow, 91 to 2006.
Yeah, because he was here 15 years.
And I think iconic Yankee.
And I think Bernie Williams is so much closer to the Hall of Fame than those other guys are.
And let's just talk about Posada real quick, because his number is retired, right?
Yes.
He's in our thing. Posada, I mean,
dude, and I went to his day. I went to the day that they
because you love him. It's not that we don't love these guys. It's let's set a higher standard. Like Bernie Williams, was he ever pushed out? Bernie Williams.
Oh yeah, George pushed him out.
Was he still a starter when he left? Like I feel like Posada was.
No.
He was a bench guy.
Yeah, he was more of a bench guy.
Just because he was getting old? Like, I feel like Posada was more of like... Posada wasn't even age as much as he just was, like, he never was, like, the greatest player.
Him and Girardi didn't get along, and they faced... I don't even remember that day. It was a nationally televised game. He didn't play. There was a whole big fight with him and...
Joe Girardi. That was one of the reasons why I never really cared for Girardi. I felt like he was so petty towards all that. Like, he was, like, the resentful younger brother.
But look at some of these names here. Like, obviously, no one's going to argue Jeter Rivera, Ruth, right? I'm just going down how we drafted, right?
Of course.
No one's going to argue Yogi, Mickey, Lou Gehrig.
Correct.
You want to argue Joe Torre?
No, can't.
No, you can't argue him because of the manager of four world championship teams. I think he deserves it.
Can't.
I already made my argument for Don Mattingly, not a Hall of Famer, but he was the face of the franchise, and he was very good.
I think you're right. Don Mattingly has to be there.
Now, you want to say Thurman Munson? Yes. I think you can make a special exception, and Thurman was great. MVP.
He was also a captain, though. He was also a captain. We talked about face of the team.
And I think if you have a tragedy like that and your career is cut short – it's something you can make an exception
when
for.
When you're that great, when you're great enough to be considered the team captain before the tragedy, and then the tragedy strikes, no one should wear that number again.
Right? Then we're going to say Paul O'Neill were me. You know, I just don't see it. Bernie Williams, I have, it's really tough because, but for me, it's that Bernie is so much closer to the Hall of Fame than people give him credit for, to me. That's why I don't have a problem with it.
Bernie's always just the underestimated, like,
and he bridged that gap. Like he was the first guy to really like turn the tide before the core four got here.
Yeah,
you got DiMaggio. No one's got a problem. I have a problem with Roger Maris. I personally have a problem with Roger Maris.
Set history in pinstripes.
Again, why does that? That was one season. Yeah, he had the back-to-back MVP years, but didn't have a long career here. Does he really deserve to have his number retired? To me,
When you're making history, which I guess then you can argue Reggie Jackson. No, because it wasn't Yankee history. It was MLB history. I'm going to agree with you here and say Maris should not be in it.
How many years exactly? Roger Maris was here from 64 to 65. So he was here six years. And I mean, if you look at it, yeah, in 60 MVP and 61, we all know 61 MVP. And then, you know, he hit 33, 23, 26, and he hit 8 home runs in his final year here.
How many World Series in that span? 3?
Did they win?
They won in 64 now.
Did they win in 64? I don't remember. Honestly, I'm a bad Yankee fan. I don't remember.
I don't remember shit like that at all.
Obviously, they won in 61, right? And I think 62. I think they won back-to-back years that year.
Yeah, because I was thinking 60, 61, 64.
They
didn't win in 60. 61, 62, they won. So
they lost in 60.
Yeah, they were in it, I think.
Was that the Mazeroski home run? I just remember it from the movie when Mickey Mantle says we're all trying to get back to the World Series.
Yeah.
Billy Martin. I mean, I think it was more of a, you know, I'm sorry for firing you so many times type of thing.
Bobby Richardson was the MVP in the 1960 World Series for New York. The Pirates won.
The Yankees really outplayed the Pirates in that World Series. Just remembering it historically, the Pirates won a bunch of – they won all their games like by one run, and the Yankees blew them out in the other three games. But, again, like a guy like Billy Martin, I didn't – again, if if George didn't fire him 40 times, would he have gotten his number retired?
Probably not.
I mean, he didn't even manage the 78 team to the World Series. He got fired.
Yeah, probably not.
Again, we got Andy. You say Andy yes, I say Andy no. You know, Phil Rizzuto. I mean, you're gonna be the guy that argues against Scooter. You can do that if you want to. I'm personally not gonna do it. I mean, I think he belongs. I know it's a completely different thing, but I'm not gonna do it just because of his broadcasting career. I know it has nothing to do with that, but
you're not gonna argue it. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah,
he's iconic.
You know, Ron Guidry. I'm not, again, because he was so dominant and he spent his entire career here. I'm not arguing against it. Posada, I say no. Jackson, I say no. Whitey Ford, obviously he belongs in there.
Come on.
Bill Dickey, honestly, I don't know enough about Bill Dickey.
Yeah, what the fuck is Bill Dickey? Why do we have a double number here? Was he pre-Yogi? No. Was he post-Yogi and got his... He had to have been great. I got to look him up. I never understood the Bill Dickey thing. I don't know anything about the guy.
Honestly, like...
He was 1928 to 1943. He was,
yeah, I mean,
he was a player manager. I don't know. Too long ago.
The only reason why he missed 2 years is he went to war.
Okay. Fucking soldier. Love it.
Again, like, honestly, like, I'm not you want to say we're bad Yankee fans because we don't know anything about
career Bill Dickey? Fine. 200 home runs. Batting average, career 313, OBP 382. I mean, not jumping off the page to me. I get Bill Dickey the fuck out.
As a catcher, 313 hitter?
That doesn't matter, dude. Then you want to talk about Posada? Because his numbers were great as a catcher.
I'm just saying.
And like at that time, it wasn't the same thing. The thing with Bill Dickey is he spent a lot of fucking years here, man. 1928 to 1946, missed 44 and 45. He was in war. You know, that's a long fucking time, man. That's almost,
you know, Elston Howard was here from 50 to 60, 50, 55 to 67. He missed a couple of years because he fought in the war.
He was the first black catcher.
First black, correct? Yankee.
First black Yankee, really?
Yes.
You gotta have him in there.
He won an MVP award, you know. So, yeah, Bill, you're not gonna argue against Elston Howard. No, and Casey Stengel
broke the Yankee color barrier, and he was a good player.
And you know, Casey Stengel is one of the greatest men. It's him, Miller Huggins, and Joe Torre, the greatest managers in franchise history. So,
yeah,
I mean, really, you're looking, but you're still looking.
So we're arguing against the guys that we love the most, really.
Yeah, I mean, you're still arguing against a decent amount of guys, Hall of Famers, and guys that we cheered for our whole lives. You know, it is become a little oversaturated.
Yeah. Not going to argue Jeter. We love Jeter. Same era. Mo, same era. But they did things of pure greatness that no one else did. No one else accomplished those things.
Right. Rivera's the greatest ever do what he did, and Derek Jeter's in the Hall of Fame. He's got the 6 most hits in Major League Baseball history.
You know, you're right. It's tough to justify retiring a number from a brief moment in history. But when you sustain that, like Jeter, like Mo, do things, put together numbers that no other human being in baseball has ever been able to accomplish, whether it be franchise or league-wide, that's what gets your number retired, man.
Like, you could better sell me on retiring Paul O'Neill's number if you didn't already do the plaque ceremony. Mm-hmm. So now I just know that this is all about fucking money.
It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit.
So I know we're running past that hour now, right?
Correct.
There are a couple brief things I want to hit on. We won't spend too much time on them. But the first being that... do you think they should ban the shift? Because Joey Gallo thinks they should ban the shift.
I've said this numerous times. I don't think they should ban the shift. What I believe is that everyone should have a position, right? It's just like a lineup card gets put out, and you need to bat in that order. You need to play the position that is in that lineup card for you. So you have to define those positions. A shortstop doesn't necessarily have to stand between the third and second base bag, in my opinion, but he sure as hell has to stay between the second baseman and the third baseman, right? Are you listening to me?
No, just talk. I'm trying to get his exact quote of what he said earlier this week.
So, to me, it's like, I don't care where they're positioned on the field, but here's how I define those positions. A catcher plays behind home plate. A pitcher plays on the pitcher's mound. A first baseman must be to the left of all other fielders, all second baseman, shortstop, and third baseman on the infield. A second baseman must play to the left of the first baseman and to the right of the shortstop. A shortstop must play between, you know, to the left of the third baseman and to the right of the second baseman, and then third baseman. Again, everyone plays to the left of him. No one, he cannot shift, you know, where they take the third baseman and put him up the middle and move the shortstop over to third a little bit and so on and so forth. I think you have to define the positions. And then from there, if you want to take the second baseman and put him as close in the outfield to the first baseman as possible without him overlapping, and then you want to move the shortstop to the other side of the second base bag and move the third baseman closer to shortstop, fine. But that third baseman, see, here's where I don't like it. It's when they don't want to move the shortstop, so they take the third baseman and wrap him all the way around or whatever the hell they do.
Right.
Where I have an issue, because now you're not defining positions anymore. You might as well just have nine guys go out on the field and let them run around like fucking little leaguers. So to me, you have to define the position, keep them within those positions, and that's how I've always felt about the shift. As long as you keep them within those parameters, they can play anywhere they want as long as they don't overlap those parameters.
This is what Gallo said. I get the defensive strategies. I do. I'm 100% not against that. But I think at some point you have to fix the game a little bit. I don't understand how I'm supposed to hit a double or triple when there's six guys standing in the outfield.
You go opposite field. Like, I'm not going to feel – I'm not. Look, I like Joey Gallo. I'm not going to feel bad for you that you can't hit the ball where the players aren't. That's what makes a good hitter. That is the definition of a good hitter.
But is he a good hitter for, you know, sticking the bat out and letting the ball roll down the third baseline because no one's standing there?
No, but that's what's going to prevent teams from doing that.
Is it really?
Yeah, you do it enough. You do it enough, sure.
But again, at some point, are you getting your value? But again, here's the argument. Are you getting your value of what Joey Gallo brings to a team if that's what he's doing?
Is he getting a base every single time he does it?
Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't.
Well, then he's clearly not doing it right if he can't put the ball down the third baseline. He should be on base every fucking time. Every time.
So you're not going to feel bad. So you're okay. Just listen. You're okay with a guy that has 40 home run power tapping the ball at third base.
Okay, so hold on. So if he has 40 home run power and that's his value, why does it matter where anyone's playing in the field? You're still, as you have that swing, yeah, your batting average might go down to 200, but you're still going to hit those 40 home runs if you're capable of hitting them. It's not like they're playing in the stands.
But what you want them to do
if is you're if you're a player complaining about it, then do something about it. But why complain about it? So then stop complaining about it. Because you can still hit the home runs, Joey. No one's playing in the stands.
But he wants to hit doubles and triples.
Too bad, dude. Then do that enough so that they stop shifting on you and show them that you can put the ball wherever the fuck you want.
I think it is a little bit ridiculous playing five or six guys in the outfield.
My stance, and I think my stance is an argument for the hitter.
Although I don't think we've ever really seen six guys in the outfield. I think it was exaggerated. But yes. I think it is ridiculous when you stick four or five guys in the outfield.
I'm not disagreeing with that. My point is, if you go with based on the parameters that I gave, it is actually an argument for the hitter because I don't think it's right that they just throw everyone out there. But at the same time, don't sit here and complain about it. If your value is being a 40 home run guy, doesn't matter where the defense is playing, dude. Just have the swing and be there and swing at good pitches. And if you want to complain about it, do something about it. If there's no one playing down the third base line, hit it down the third base line. A good hitter can put the ball wherever the fuck he wants.
But do you want him to go just that's automatically?
It's
that's
up
what
to
he
him.
Do.
It's up to him. Where does he bring more value? If I'm Joey Gallo, I sit down and I say, look, what's going to bring more value? Not worrying about the field and just hitting my home runs and getting on base by walking and having a good eye at the plate. Or am I really butthurt about this where I need to tell the defense they can't do this to me anymore And should I focus my time on hitting the ball down the third base line until they stop shifting on me? And as a person, as a human being, as a player in Major League Baseball, you make that decision, you determine where your value is, like a grown-up, and then you do something about it. That's it. And I'm not disagreeing with Joey Gallo in a sense of that something shouldn't be regulated, because I just told you I would. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and feel bad for the guy.
I really don't care if they ban the shift or they don't.
I do. I think what I proposed, it doesn't just talk about the shift. It actually puts more regulation into what position you're playing.
I just think it's ridiculous. I don't care if
I think it's ridiculous it when they go crazy with it. Like I said, when they take the third baseman and put him at, you know, where a second baseman would play and the shortstop plays in the gap, that shouldn't happen. It can't happen.
The ball's hit the second and he's like,
right.
Well, that's a 5-3 put
right,
out.
Exactly.
Because the third baseman is over
exactly.
there.
Exactly. And that's my point of why even have positions then. If you're not going to regulate the position, then why even have them? And I think that's wrong.
I was just playing a little bit of devil's advocate, because if third base is open the whole fucking time, I don't see, you should take your opportunities to go out there
absolutely.
And hit your home runs. But
look, to me, Joey Gallo, yeah, great home run hitter and brings a lot of value. Excuse me. But as a Yankee, his biggest value to me right now is getting on base. So if you're telling me that you have a full open left side of the field, dude, that's all you should be doing right now. Is hitting the ball, is working on going, hitting the ball down the line.
Might be crazy. You know, I don't think the Yankees have a great hope for a leadoff hitter. Might try Joey Gallo out there a couple days.
Oh, yeah. Why not clean up?
Because he sucks. No, I like Joey Gallo. I think
he's a great player. I really do.
But because of the amount of pitches he sees and his propensity to walk, I wouldn't mind seeing Joey Gallo lead off. I mean, yeah, DJ is okay as a leadoff hitter. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. Where would you bat?
Look.
Where would you bat LeMahieu? Because I don't think the Yankees want to mess with Judge at second. I just think they're just set on that.
Look. Here's my issue. I always had a problem with DJ when they moved him to the leadoff spot because he's so good with the table set. But no one really stepped up as a better table setter. And so I fell into the groove of like DJ leading off the game. I really like Joey Gallo, to be honest with you, behind Stanton. I think that before Stanton. Because I think Joey Gallo has a great approach at the plate.
I don't want him bat third.
He needs protection. And that's the problem.
I want Freddie Freeman bat third.
Yeah, well, if that's the case, then I don't care where Joey Gallo bats. My point is, I don't care where you put him. He has to have good protection behind him because he's too good of a approach at the plate for you to just put him in front of, like, fucking, you know, some Gary Sanchez who can't hit the fucking broadside of a barn. You know, you got to put
Joe, if you know how the Yankees are to line. Gallo's hot. Well, they don't believe in hot. So it was a stupid conversation.
Like you can't have him batting in front of Kyle Higashioka when Cole's pitching where they can just throw him pitches. You know, you got to protect the guy. He has a good approach. He's going to get on base a lot, and they're not going to get away.
No,
with throwing
they need
him
protection
pitching.
From fucking Joey Gallo. He's a fucking gangster, bro.
That's why the
wow, that burned my throat. That's why Good they job. Need Rizzo back.
Well, you know what? Let's end the show on this. Anthony Rizzo might be the option at first base because he will be the cheapest option at first base for the Yankees. I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The Yankees don't want to move either one of their shortstop prospects in a trade. And this is something that I didn't bring up from the when we were talking about the retired numbers. If your concern is that the next guy to wear 21 will get booed, why don't you give it to Anthony Volpe? You think the fans are going to boo Anthony Volpe because he's wearing 21?
Their boy.
If you have a top level prospect that's coming up to be your superstar player, give him 21. The fans will be accepting of that. And if they're not, then they're just fucking assholes.
Yeah. Which I mean, could go either way.
I mean, you gotta get over it at that.
That could
point.
Go either way.
He's not Derek Jeter. You didn't hand down.
Hey, yes, he is. You didn't hear.
No, I'm saying Paul O'Neill.
Oh, right. But Volpe, as of right now, if you haven't heard, he's a great future MLB player that will definitely win this team World Series, which is why they definitely shouldn't trade him for anyone. So he's very proven in Major League Baseball. Very proven now, guy.
Speaking of, there's some blue check marks out there, whatever, saying that it's not such a... First of all, I want to say this. Michael Kay, you have a fucking job for life. You do. So stop going on your radio show and counting Hal Steinbrenner's money. Or maybe that's why you have a job for life. Because this past week on his show, he's like, well, I don't see how the Yankees go to 6 years with Freddie Freeman when they already have Stanton and Cole and this guy and they have to sign Judge. I told you why they should fucking do it. Stop worrying about 6 fucking years from now and stop counting your boss's money. Your cut will still be there, Michael. I'm tired of when he's being a little fucking cuck boy for the Yankees. Stop it.
So many, okay? So many cucks in Major League Baseball now.
Just stop fucking counting his money, dude. You got your cut, cuck.
So many cucks. Too many cucks.
Tired of it.
The cucks are starting to rule.
That really pissed me off when he's like, the Yankees will never sign Freddie Freeman. They're going to give a 6-year deal to a 32-year. Yeah, they should because it's fucking smart. I don't care what you say. I don't get paid by fucking Hal Steinbrenner, so I don't have to count his money. What I count is my money going into his fucking pocket when I walk through a stadium's fucking turnstiles. And guess what I want to spend my money on? Fucking Freddie Freeman t-shirts being a fucking Yankee. That's what I want to spend my money on. So shut the fuck up and do your shitty radio show. And I'm going to sit here and do my podcast.
Would you say that to him if he came on the show?
Fuck no, he won't come on this show.
But if he did, would you say it?
Yeah, I'm going to call him a fucking cuck. It'll get hostile.
Let's get him on here just to call him a fucking cuck. Let's do that before season's end. In the comments, if you're still watching right now on MLB News TV on the YouTube channel, first of all, subscribe and like this video. But if you want us to do everything in our power to get Michael Kay on here just to call him a cuck boy, let us know in the chat right now. And we'll do it. I'll fucking scam him. I'll dupe him. I'll tell him it's...
I had a friend of mine meet him at... He was doing an appearance before COVID. I had a friend of mine meet him, said, my friend has a podcast, will you go on? And he flat out said no, because he's tied to somebody else. And we all know who he's fucking tied to. So, and that's not even why I'm calling him a cuck boy. I'm calling him a cuck boy because he's fucking sitting there counting Hal's money saying, we shouldn't go get Freddie Freeman. Fuck you, we should.
Doctor, don't vouch yourself.
I have the mask, by the way.
Why didn't you wear it?
Because SGR's not here. Like, what's the point?
Okay. Next week.
I got it, dude.
And whether SGR's here next week or not, you're wearing it.
All right, fine. Deal.
All right. Well, you see these random reports coming out saying, well, Toronto had contact with Freddie Freeman and they want to spend money. Or the Mets, who have two fucking first basemen, want to go out there and get Freddie Freeman. I'm telling you this right now, and I never say this, and Chris, you know how much I hate when people fucking say it. If Freddie fucking Freeman winds up a New York Met, Hal Steinbrenner should put a fucking for sale sign out in front of Yankee Stadium.
Absolutely, 100%.
Because when you need something so bad as a fucking first baseman and the guy across the street doesn't, but because he can, he does. And it almost as a fuck you to you, and you don't do anything to stop it. Just go.
Couldn't agree more, dude.
I'm so sick and fucking tired of hearing, again, the Yankees have two things that they could do to improve this team. Trade your prospects. Or spend the money. And they're seemingly unwilling to do both. So tell me how you're getting better.
You ain't.
That's what bothers me. And I've said this again, and I said this before, I'll say it again. If you're telling me that you don't want to trade your prospects because your goal is to go out there and write fat fucking checks, and that's how you're going to improve the team, fine. Don't trade your prospects then, because you're spending money. I don't have a problem with that then. if your goal is to not spend money because your goal is to deplete your farm system, get the best players in here via trade, then don't spend the money. You're trading your prospects. I can't really complain because you're doing what it takes to improve the team. You have assets, you're using them, whether it be money or prospects. But this team just seemingly doesn't want to do it. And if I got to watch fucking Freddie Freeman play first base for the fucking Mets, you want to talk about things that would seriously get me to consider not rooting for this fucking team anymore? That would be one of them. Because if the Mets needed a first baseman and went out there and outspent for Freddie Freeman, I could say, okay, whatever. They needed a guy, they got him. But they don't fucking need
a
first
baseman.
Let's
make a deal now.
They have two of them that they can't find fucking playing time for.
Let's make a deal right now. Blood, what's it called? Blood oath? Okay. If the Mets get Freddie Freeman, if they outbid the Yankees, and then the Yankees...
You'd have to assume the Yankees are even bidding.
Yes. Well, it doesn't matter. If the Mets just get Freddie Freeman, done. And then if the Yankees let Judge hit free agency and the Mets pick him up, we do not root for the Yankees anymore. Done?
I'm not returning.
Okay.
And the show's over.
Deal.
If Freddie Freeman and Aaron Judge are both Mets in 2023, the show's over. Done. I'm sorry. Pete, I'm sorry. That's a full year.
I think
warning.
Everyone should pack it in. So.
So I'm just fucking sick and tired of it, dude. Like, and it's the same thing where people are like, oh, Correa's not worth $300 million. Okay, well, who is? And what do you want to do?
Who is? Who is that?
What do you want to do? You want to sit there? And Anderson Simmons, who's such a great defensive shortstop, all his defensive metrics have gone in the opposite direction in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, if you were actually sitting there seriously telling yourself that the Yankees move for shortstop is Didi Gregorius, stand in front of a fucking moving bus.
Wow. And we'll end on that.
And who loved Didi more than I did?
No one. Nobody. Well,
clearly there are people now because they're clamoring for this guy to come back.
Nobody.
Yeah, 2017 was great. Let it go.
Let it go.
All right. Well, that'll wrap up. Let it go. Let this show go. Thank you very much for supporting the NYYST podcast. Follow us on Twitter at NYYST_podcast. Thank you very, very much for listening to episode 271. Chris, say goodbye.
Peace. NYYST. This is New York. Yankee sports talk. Yep. Swinging for the fences. Knock it out the park. This is New York. Yankee Sports Talk, woo! Christian and Chris, of course, SGR. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk, call me New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Record, rain, or shine, grab your shades and umbrellas, NYYST, you're hanging with the fellas.